WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
This is Fresh Air. I'm David Bianculli. It has been called the artistic crime of the 20th century. In 1974, a daredevil acrobat from France strung a wire 200 feet between the towers of the World Trade Center and spent 45 minutes on it, without a net. British director James Marsh has turned that story into a documentary called Man on Wire. It opens this week in New York and Los Angeles and expands to more cities in August. Film critic David Edelstein has a review.
The famous American male daredevils, the Evel Knievels, the test pilots, carry a macho vibe. When I see them interviewed, I often get a sense they're still trying to prove themselves to their dads. But the Frenchman, Philippe Petit, has a different aura. He's the guy who in 1974 walked and danced on a wire between the twin towers of the World Trade Center, 110 stories above ground. When it was over, and he was taken down in handcuffs, American reporters pressed close to ask him why. In James Marsh's exhilarating documentary, Man on Wire, Petit, now in his late 50s, still can't get over the absurdity of the question.
You know, why? And that was a very, again, in my way of seeing America, a very American finger-snapping question. I did something magnificent and mysterious, and I got a practical why. And the beauty of it is that I didn't have any why.
In Man on Wire, Marsh asks not why, but how the hell. He tells Petit's story like a heist picture, part talking heads, part period footage of Petit honing his balance and pulling off lesser but still breathtaking stunts, like a walk over the Sydney Harbor Bridge, and part Mission Impossible-style reenactments. Those reenactments are stylized, obviously fake, but they're edited with such urgency, they snap right into place. They're bridges to the main event, the coup, as Petit calls it, which we get to see from many angles. Petit doesn't know why he did it, but remembers when the idea came to him. Here he recounts it, complete with reenactments and sound effects.
Here I am, young, 17 years old, with a bad tooth in one of those uncolorful waiting room of a French dentist, and it's really lit with a little 40-watt bulb, and you have all ladies and people, you know, sheepishly looking at magazines. It's quiet, and suddenly I freeze, because I have opened a newspaper at a page, and I see something magnificent, something that inspired me. I see two towers, and the article says, one day those towers will be built. They're not even there yet. And when they are, they will become the highest in the world. Now I need to have that, this little tangible start of my dream. But everybody is watching, but I need that page. And so what I do is, under the cover of sneeze, I tear the page, put it under my jacket, and go out. Now, of course, I would have a toothache for a week. But what's the pain in comparison that now I have acquired my dream?
What follows are two threads. The building of the World Trade Center in footage from the 60s. Magnificent, awesome, deeply sad. And Petit's idée fixe. Magnificent, awesome, and deeply egocentric. That the towers are being created for him. Petit had a girlfriend at the time who says each day is like a work of art to him. He talks in the film of seizing the space, defying society's soul-killing laws, defining oneself through action. Very existentialist, very inspiring, unless you're driving under the Sydney Harbor Bridge and a guy falls through your roof and you die. Part of me says, we can't permit people to endanger themselves and the public. The other part says, wow. There's a long-distance shot of Petit on that Sydney Bridge in which you can't see the wire. He looks as if he's walking on the air. There's another shot of him suspended between the towers of Notre Dame Cathedral. Inside, priests are prostrating themselves before the altar. Unaware, there's a man above them, swaying on a thin wire, juggling. The Trade Center scheme involves cohorts from several continents, figuring out how to shoot a steel cable from one tower to the other, rocking the wire to simulate the wind while he practices in a field. And then comes the day and night and day, which I won't spoil. It's funny, though, that at the same time Petit is going up, Richard Nixon, is coming down. It goes without saying, and happily Man on Wire doesn't say it, that all this took place in a more naive time, that the notion of foreigners with fake IDs slipping past guards into the Twin Towers has a different meaning now. So does the prospect of falling from the top. The most miraculous thing about Man on Wire is not the feat itself. It's that as you watch it, the era long gone, the World Trade Center long gone, the movie feels as if it's in the present tense. That nutty existentialist acrobat pulled it off. For an instant, he froze time.
David Edelstein is film critic for New York Magazine.